Good morning. I remember when I first became a Christian, I thought the book of James was all you needed. It really tells you the whole deal right here in this one book. The prayer of faith. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thanks, Diane. Mm-hmm. James chapter 5. Just a little bit of feedback, Dan. James chapter 5, still a little bit more now. If you listen to those words being read, the word prayer is mentioned 7 times in 5 verses. The word prayer. So our theme this morning is we're talking about prayer, serious praying, or praying like Elijah. I want to begin by asking you a question. Think about it for a moment. What would you like God to do in your life right now? You don't have to answer out loud. I want you to answer in the depth of your own heart. What would you like God to do specifically in your life right now? You know, Scripture says in the Old Testament that the Lord wants to give us the desires of our heart. And those desires that are in accordance with His will. Our will becomes, as it becomes aligned with His will, our desires will be aligned with His will. And so He will give us the desires of our heart. What do you want God to do in your life right now? Elijah was a man who asked God to keep it from raining for 3.5 years. And he prayed and it stopped raining. And he prayed again and it started raining after 3.5 years. Have any of you ever prayed that it would stop raining? Yeah, I have. I don't want it to rain on my parade sometimes, you know, things I want to do. That's not what Elijah was praying about. He wasn't going to a biker event or a baseball game. He wanted God to show His glory and His power, stop the rain in the context of an idolatrous society, dealing with false prophets and idol worshippers and so forth. He prayed that it would stop raining, all for God's glory, according to God's perfect will. The second question, do you want to pray like Elijah? Do you want to pray like Elijah? Wow, that's not an easy question to answer. Because if you really want to pray like Elijah, the God would even stop the rain for 3.5 years and then pray and it starts raining again. There's some very powerful, life-changing responsibilities that we have in our personal lives. Do you want our church to be a church that prays like Elijah? I hope you do. Do you personally want to pray like him? I really hope that you do. But being very blunt and very pointed, as I talk with people that come into my office, I will not put band-aids on cancer. Some of you do not want to pray like Elijah. It's too much bother. Let somebody else do it. Elijah is a good and biblical example for us. James 5 says of him, a man just like us. And he prayed. This account of him praying, you have to go back to the Old Testament, and we did not read that. And 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19. Now, let me be the TV guy. What passage in the Old Testament? Yeah, a couple of you were listening, okay. Or some of you don't like to hear the sound of your own voice. Or you're not TV installed kind of thing, you know. 1 Kings chapter 17 through chapter 19. I would urge you to read that. Some of you probably have, but maybe it's been a while. So we're not going to go back there in terms of reading it. We're going to go back there to look at how Elijah prayed. Because there it records some fascinating and supernatural events in the life of Elijah that would point to us how we can be men and women to pray like him. So what we're going to learn from his life, using James as the springboard, as the impetus to learning to pray to the point that we could pray, Lord, stop the rain, dealing with an idolatrous society. We can pray like him if these responsibilities are part of our lives. I want to share four basic, very brief responsibilities before we share communion together. Four personal responsibilities if we really want to pray like Elijah. Having no idols or unconfessed sins in our lives. No idols, no unconfessed sin in our lives. And if you go back to the 1 Kings passage, chapter 17 through chapter 19, that passage records the account of what is going on in Israel at the time of the kings and Elijah the prophet. And there you will discover that Elijah was true to God. All kinds of idol worshiping going on. All kinds of false prophets, idol worshipers. And if you read that, and some of you are familiar with the story, it's there that Elijah challenges the false prophets, the idol worshipers, those that are worshiping Baal, and all those gods and Molech, that they would actually offer their children as living sacrifices and put those living babies in the burning arms of this statue, or they would be burned to death. And Elijah stands up and says, no, this has got to stop. And he challenges them, and he says, I'm going to challenge you. We're going to find out who's the real God. We're going up to Mount Carmel. And there we're going to pray. We're going to Mount Carmel to pray. One more time. We're going to Mount Carmel to pray. And you ask your God to come, and we're going to put a sacrifice on the altar, wood, but no fire. You pray to your God that he would strike the match to cause the fire to consume the sacrifice. And whatever God answers prayer, that is the God. For those of you that are not familiar with the story, those false gods, those idol, false prophets, those idol worshipers, they pray, they cut themselves, they take knives, and they're going through all kinds of chants and rituals and words and doing everything they can, begging and pleading their false gods to come and set the sacrifice on fire, but to no avail. And I love Elijah. And before he prays, he says to them, hey, where's your God? Now, without being too descriptive, Elijah says, maybe he's busy. But I really think he's out back doing his business. He's in the bathroom. And Elijah's mocking them. And so Elijah just says, hey, in case you guys think that there's something rigged here, let's bring gallons of water and pour it all over this wood and all over and around the altar. And then I'm going to pray. And he prayed. And the fire fell from heaven and consumed everything, licked up all the water and everything. That's the context. James talking about praying like Elijah and then praying that there would be no rain, because rain was so important in that culture and in that agricultural context. But Elijah had no idols. no idols in his life. There was no unconfessed sin. In this James passage, James talks about confessing sins. Without going into any detail, I don't want anybody to think that I stand here this morning suggesting in any way that sometimes when people are not healed, it's because of sin. I am not suggesting that. There are some people that teach that, I think, contrary to Scripture. But there needs to be a confession of sin and specific sins. That's what James is talking here. Elijah had no unconfessed sin, and there were no idols in his life. Do you really want to pray like Elijah? Some of you don't. Because if you really want to pray like Elijah, you're going to pray, Lord, there can be no idols in my life. There can be no unconfessed sin. Is there anything between you and the Lord Jesus Christ? And I say to you, what's the most important thing in your life? And you go, well, it's this. It's this. Where's Jesus? He's either Lord of everything or he's Lord of nothing in your life. And if we want to pray like Elijah, there can be nothing between us and Jesus. It cannot be our spouse. It cannot be our children. It cannot be our job. It cannot be our future and our success and our careers and all of that. And those things are all fine, but they cannot be between us and Jesus. And Elijah had no idols. And he prayed. And the fire came. And the rain came. So in these very tense, quiet moments, even this morning, we are here because of a divine appointment. On this 4th of July time in our culture where our country is desperate because our land is filled with idols. Boy, we need the Christians, we need the church, we need the body of Christ to be able to pray like Elijah. And we have to deal with the unconfessed sin. And we have to deal with the idolatry. And the idols that come between us and Jesus, they have to be broken. They have to be removed. And the sin needs to be confessed. And so, in these seconds, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you any idols that have to be dealt with. See, I know he's doing that now. And if there's unconfessed sin, it has to be dealt with. And he is revealing that to you. And he's speaking to you. So that's number one, first responsibility. No idols and no unconfessed sin if we want to pray like Elijah. Second, we need to maintain an intimate fellowship with the Lord. A very intimate communion fellowship with the Lord. That 1 Kings passage, Elijah had fellowship with God. Very interesting passage, and this is why I encourage you to read it at your convenience. Elijah is coming before God, and he's talking to the Father. He's talking to the sovereign creator, Jehovah Elohim. And he's listening, he's waiting to hear God's voice. He listens to the wind. He listens to the earthquake. He listens to the fire, but he doesn't hear God. But he listens and he hears God's whisper. God's whisper. Elijah was in such a relationship with the sovereign creator that he didn't have to have an earthquake. He didn't have to have a fire. He didn't have to have some kind of booming voice. He was in such communion with the Father that all the Father had to do was whisper. And he could hear him. See, there was no static. He had his radio tuned into the Father. And all to be just a whisper. And so James here is talking about praying like Elijah. Prayer is fellowship with God. Prayer is fellowship with God. It's an intimacy with this communion with him. Do you really want to pray like Elijah? Some of you don't. That means you'll spend time with the Lord listening to Him, listening for the whisper. So I encourage you, I challenge you, get alone with Him. A quiet time, a quiet place. Get rid of the static. Get rid of the noise. Don't wait for the earthquake. Don't wait for the fire. Don't wait for some booming voice. Listen to the whisper. And He will speak to you. He will speak to you. That's not maybe. That's a guarantee. Just listen. See, He's speaking right now. Third responsibility is to ask God with confidence to do something specific. This first Kings passage, if you go back and read it, it's tied with James 5. Elijah asked God to do something specific. The one was about the fire coming down and consuming the altar and the sacrifice. But in the context of James, he asked God that he would stop the rain. Who stopped the rain? Creedence Clearwater Revival. Yeah. He asked God to stop the rain for 3.5 years. Then he asked God to start it to rain again. What do you want God to do specific in your life that aligns with His will? See, this comes out of no idols, no unconfessed sin. You're listening to the whisper of God's voice. He will speak to you, and you're in communion, and you're in fellowship with Him. And your heart's desire is, I want your will. I want your kingdom. I want your purpose to be done and accomplished in my life and in this world. And He's going to speak. And you can say, God, I want you to do this. So oftentimes I think we come to God, like those of you as parents know, when you've had little kids and we've had children and grandchildren come and say, I want this, daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy, would you give me this, would you give me that? And say, well, hey, stop, what do you want? You know, be specific. And so we come to God and we need to ask with confidence, very specifically, what aligns with His will and what will bring glory to Him. Ask Him to stop the rain in your life. Whatever that specific thing is that you know will bring glory to Him and accomplish His purpose in and through your life, ask Him to do it. And I'm telling you, He will do it. Ask in confidence. I'm not talking about asking for Cadillacs and Lexuses and Mercedes and Lamborghinis. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about asking for, this will bring glory to the Father. This will accomplish His purpose in and through my life. This is what I want you to do. And be prepared. See, He knows our hearts and He knows our desires. And when we come into that close, intimate fellowship, Lord, I want what You want in my life and in this world. Fourth responsibility, trusting God in faith to do what we asked. First Kings 17 through 19. There we learn that Elijah trusted God, and like Elijah, we must walk by faith. 3.5 years before it would start raining again. Trusting Him in faith means resting in His power, resting in His provision, and resting in His timing. Elijah waited 3.5 years. It would start raining again. Do you want to pray like Elijah? Some of you don't. Trust in the Lord. In faith, wait for His provision and His power to be manifest, and He will provide, because He is Jehovah Jireh. He is God who provides. He will provide exactly, specifically what you ask for that is in perfect alignment with His will and His purpose in your personal life. In the adult class that I lead on Sunday mornings, we're going through a book called Radical. And it's about radical Christianity. And the author, David Clapp, uses an illustration from George Mueller's life that ties perfectly with what I'm talking about. So those of you that were in the class, just bear with us for a moment. George Mueller in the 1860s in England was a pastor of a church. And he had God's call and touch on his life to start an orphanage. And if you know anything about history and the conditions in England, then were desperate. Children were being abandoned and no child labor laws and that kind of thing. So Mueller decided to start this orphanage. He had been seeking God and praying. But here's the most awesome thing. He starts the orphanage. No money. Okay? Any problem with that? He made this commitment to God. I will not let anybody know what we need, and I will never ask anybody for a penny and tell them we have a need. He said, God, if you want this orphanage to go, you will provide. All because, Mueller says, you will get the credit and you will get the glory, and it's not because I asked Joe or Jim or Frank or somebody to give money and to tell them. I won't even tell them that we have a need. You provide. Now, if you've never read George Mueller's autobiography, buy it and read it this year. Because George Mueller talks about, he's got all these kids, hundreds of kids in this orphanage, and he never asked for a penny and never let anybody know what the need was. And God provided that they would sit down in the morning for breakfast and they would pray. There was no food. And there'd be a knock at the door, and there was a farmer with the milk, and then another farmer with the bread, and another farmer with the eggs. And that's how they lived. But we go, now we can't do that, right? Elijah prayed for something that only God could accomplish. And see, we're always looking for that ace up our sleeve in case God doesn't come through. But when we're praying that the fire fall from heaven or to stop the rain or to start the rain, that's nothing we can do. Only God can accomplish that. And that's where we trust Him. And so we can't come to God and say, God, I need a nickel. And God knows that we might need $5. Well, God, please give me a nickel. No, no, you're not getting a nickel. I'm going to give you $5 because I have a greater purpose in this. We can pray like Elijah. We can pray like Elijah. No idols, no unconfessed sin. Intimate fellowship with the Lord. Ask Him for something very special, very specific, that only He can accomplish, that aligns with His will, and then trust Him to provide. Trust Him. That's where you rest in Him providing. I encourage you, I challenge you that you can pray like Him. But first, let the Holy Spirit speak to you about any idols in your life, about any unconfessed sin, about learning to listen for the whisper. Just listen for the whisper. And then ask Him to do that which seems to be impossible. That you can't figure it out, and you don't have the resources, and you don't have the ability, that it's going to take a miraculous work of God to accomplish, and then trust Him that in His timing and His provision. Before we have communion, let's take a few moments to pray. I just want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. you want to pray like Elijah, confess any sin that needs to be dealt with. The Holy Spirit will reveal that. If there's any idols that have to be broken, get them out of your life. And listen for that whisper, because He will speak to you. Ask Him to accomplish that specific thing that will align with His will that only He can do. And then I'll trust Him. Thank you, Father, for Your presence. Continue to teach us, Lord Jesus. We want to be men and women that pray like Elijah, to see Your power, Your firefall, Your consuming blaze. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. We're going to share around the Lord's table. I'm going to ask our men that are serving communion to be prepared.